and see what the Word of God says, because it is too common that people will sit in the church house most of their life, and all they know is what someone has told them, but they've never looked and actually seen what the Word of God says. And I'll say this, it's not just for me, it's not just for you, it's for everybody, it's your soul. I remember the words of my grandfather on my mother's side. He had been a moonshiner in the days of Prohibition. All I knew is he didn't have one thumb that he lost in an axe fight. And that's the story. Now, you know how kids are, and I guess that's the story. But that's the story I heard anyway. And he's gone, so he can't correct me. He had been a very rough man, but of course when I knew him, was a very elderly man and still gruff but tender. He chewed tobacco and had a Folgers can. You've seen this scene, some of you, from time back, probably 1,000 times over. But my grandfather, he would sit there, and there was a couch, like where this altar is, that he would sit on the corner, and there was a little hallway to the rest of the house. You'd come in, and he had that little can sitting on a little pedestal, a little table right there. And he had to, every time we'd walk by, he'd reach over and spit, just to scare the bejinkins out of us. But my parents would talk to him about the Lord, and he'd always say a lot of things, a lot of regrets in life. But he said, I wore this old body out living for Satan. He said, I'm not going to ask God to take it now. And he had emphysema till one day alone he lost his breath and could not recover it. The paramedics came. He was straight-lined, no heartbeat. And yet they brought him back. He recovered in the hospital. But he says, and this was his testimony, said in that hour he felt himself falling. And he felt as the weight of eternity was upon him. And someone said, well, that's no breath. I don't know. But he said he felt himself falling. And first time the realization hit him that what he was about to face, no one was man enough to face. And in that hour, he called upon the Lord. And when the loved ones began to show up at the hospital, there was a different man there to greet them. And rejoicing in what the Lord had done for him and for the rest of his life, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years, 4 years later, and you catch those, anyone dared come see him. And sometimes you have to dare to go see a child of God. But anyone that would come see him, he would let them know about this Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved him. Praise the Lord. Well, I was thinking about those treasures. Of course, I was talking about the website, and that's how I got somehow diverted. You notice that happens here if we get diverted. So we're putting the studies on, and we started last year with the site with the books and the CDs, and we started out at the end of the year. We thought it was great. Some of you remember sitting here. We'd been on for 3 months, and we'd had 300 visits, and hallelujah. And I thought it was pretty good because, well, then at the first of the year, it started jumping. Jumping, you know, 6,000, 7,000 a month, 10,000, just from all over the world, people just coming and reading. And how many comments we've got is that we've never heard anything like this. And I don't know what happened. A couple of days ago, it jumped up probably from running about 300 a day to over 1,000 a day. I don't know what happened there. And just, again, just people from all over. But I was talking about the treasures that we give our children. But these treasures aren't just for your children. I wrote a newsletter. We sent it out last night. But the gospel, Paul said he was a debtor. He said, to the barbarian, to the Greek, to the wise, to the unwise. And, you know, we would like to be the wise. How many would say I'm the unwise? Well, he says, I'm a debtor to both. If you're foolish, if you're wise, I'm a debtor to you. If you're barbarian or Greek, he's just talking about the nations they didn't know were barbarians. You know, the Greeks were the wise. That's how they would view things. But he said, I'm a debtor, and so I'm ready to preach the gospel. It just took a little bit to explain the debt. It's because we, in the church of Jesus Christ, has been given something that belongs to the entire world. Do you know that? That if Christ died for all, then he died for those that hate him. He died for those that despise him. He died for those that have never heard of him. He died for those that laugh and mock at him. And he shed his blood to purchase their redemption. And those that hold that gospel hold something that belongs to them. And Paul knew that was his debt. Could never repay the Lord for what the Lord had done. But he knew he had something that belonged to people that many of his brethren, the Jews, would call dogs and would not even speak to. But he knew that he had something that belonged to them. It was the gospel of their salvation, that which would give them a new spirit, a new heart, make them new creatures, and they would no longer be haters of God. They would no longer be mockers. They would no longer be despisers. They would no longer be filthy or unclean or whatever the situation was, because the reason they were those things is because they didn't have what Paul had for them. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that power of God unto salvation to an old man who's wore his body out living for Satan. Still, the gospel of Christ belonged to him. I may never get to the scripture. I told you many times when the Lord was dealing with me, I hadn't been in church in years. A young man, you know, my life, live it my way. Got to the point I realized that my way wasn't working very well, but you know how pride is. It was my life, live it my way. And yet, the Lord, through something Brother Surface said, we were working on a roof, like took a knife and just... It wasn't a knife in the back, but no, it was straightforward. It was. You ever had that? Sometimes in life you get used to them in the back, but this was straightforward. This was right through the heart. Someone told me a while back, they're saying, you know how it feels when someone questions the state of your soul? You know how that hurts? Yes, I do. And it was the best thing anyone ever did for me. From that point, God began to deal. And the more God dealt, the angrier I got. Now, I've never been the kind of person that was angry outward. Some people are. I mean, I've had my moments, believe me. But I never was that kind of person. But, you know, more the pressure cooker. I mean, I understand that kind of anger. The pressure cooker within. And that's the kind that just blows up. And I remember coming to work one day, my head throbbing, my eyes bloodshot. I don't think I'd slept half the night. I've told the story of a young man. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But I showed up for work, and there was a teenage boy that happened to go to the church that I didn't go to, because I didn't go to church. And he was singing, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." And he literally could not carry. I found out after I came to the Lord, he was still singing specials. He could not carry a tune in the bucket. But it wasn't his lack of melody that affected me. That song was just driving me out of my mind. And, you know, I was a little bit stronger than I am now, not quite so thick. I turned to him, just looked him square in the eye, and I said, won't you just shut your mouth? And I would have put him in his place real fast. And I turned around to walk off, and he just, old country boy, he just said, conviction, conviction, conviction. I thought I was listening to Gomer Pyle. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Before he got that last conviction out of his mouth, I had him by the collar slammed up against the wall. The pressure cooker blew. Slammed up against the wall, shaking him, just intense anger, screaming at him, it is not! That was the anger. And then I could walk away and talk to people in a normal voice and everything, and everything's fine. But that was the anger within. It was conviction. It was the dealing of the Lord. The scripture that was on my heart, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And the scripture tells us when it says gave himself for us, he said, while we were enemies. How many understand that there was a time, I trust it's not today, but that you were on the enemy side. And some people don't understand why we say a child of God has no enemies. You say, oh, well, yes, you do have enemies. That man in that tree, he had enemies. They were his enemies. He wasn't their enemy. Do you understand the difference? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power. And I'll tell you, if you put a face on them, they're not your enemy. And you say, but they might be trying to kill me. They may succeed. But they're not your enemy. They're the captive of your enemy. They're under the orders of your enemy. And that was the thing, even with me, the reason that I was so strong against God is I do what I want. It's my light and my course. And oh, I was so foolish. Scripture speaks of those that are taken captive by Satan at his will. It's your course. Why does he just have to yank your chain and you're doing the things that you regret if it's your course? But he died for his enemies because though they were his enemies, yet he loved them. And that's why we say a child of God has no enemies. Because there may be those, have you found it to be so, Brother Oscar, that will make themselves your enemy, but they can't be your enemy. Because you have something that belongs to them. It's the gospel of their salvation that will make them free. And the scripture said, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. How many have ever redeemed anything? You say, well, I'm not Christ. How many have ever pawned something? We've ever redeemed a coupon. You actually are redeeming the item. In a pawn shop, you've pawned something. Something's been sold into the bondage of those bars and doors behind that pawn counter. And you're bringing what it takes to redeem it. And it's your cash. Is that true? And so to redeem something is to provide what it takes to loosen. It comes from the word ransom, which means something to loosen with. To loose it from what holds it. And so redemption, and this is some of those things that people tell us, we've never heard that before. It's right in the Scripture, fills the Scripture. That redemption is from iniquity. It's what holds man, and Christ came to free man or woman, who gave himself to redeem us from, what was that word? All. We stumbled on that last week, didn't we? All. every iniquity, everything that holds you captive that was brought into this world by sin, He came to redeem you. Break those chains, bring you out, make you free. To redeem us from all iniquity. And this is the phrase that was on my heart. And to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Now, the word peculiar is beyond usual. It's special, unique, one of a kind. It was God's promise to Israel the day He spoke on the mount, if you'll hear My voice, keep My covenant, you'll be a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation, a peculiar, a special, you say a different people. You know, we have some people that are peculiar in this place. Someone says, I'll say. But we got some peculiar people. They don't tick like other people tick. They love when we think they should despise. They forgive when we think they should take revenge. In a world filled with uncleanness, bombarded from every avenue, yet they walk through life, you think, well, they don't have their feet on the ground. It's just what comes out of their mouth is just wholesome and clean, and to the praise of the Lord, these people are peculiar, becoming more so. He's saying a special people. How did they get that way? He said He gave Himself to redeem them from iniquity and purify them to Himself. He said, I delivered them and I washed them. And this is the gospel of Christ, that He came to deliver and to wash the people. And I want to tell you, we're not going to go through all these scriptures this morning, but I show you in the scripture, He washes your mind, He washes your spirit, He washes your soul, He washes your heart, He washes your life. And He purified unto Himself. And you're not going to have it without that. Unto Himself. I used to know a man, and I've told this story. But y'all heard us talk about Mary. Mary Duffany a good bit. And just an astounding testimony of the grace of God. A woman, not we saying something's troubling her, that absolutely possessed of unclean spirits. Take control, speak, change her body, that just in the preaching of the gospel, the Lord delivered. Well, one brother, many of you know Ted Duffany from Michigan, came down to see what happened to his sister and got caught up in the same stuff and been a peculiar person ever since, walking in the love and the grace of Christ. Another brother came down to get his sister out of this stuff. And he realized that, no, this is something good that's going on in my sister. But there was a strange thing that went on with this brother. He loved what he saw. You know what the stumbling block was? Jesus Christ. I want to have that. I want to be that. I want to be like her, what God's did for her, what God's done for others. I want to possess that. But the one stumbling block was that it was through Jesus Christ. I shared the story. We would be in services, and this man would show up because we were doing a lot of work out here, building the children's buildings. He'd show up. Sometimes help, show up, be here all the way to service, disappear at service time, and then show up when service was over. in one sense, very hungry for the things of God. But you know, I finally figured out he thought he was going to get it by hanging around those that knew God. And so one day I just looked at him, called him by name. I said, it don't work through osmosis. You don't get it by hanging around. You get it by coming to Jesus Christ. How many know that? He's the one who gave himself to redeem from all iniquity and to purify unto himself. And those that have, I'm familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, long-suffering, that's generally what we would call patience. Faith, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. The fruits of the Spirit. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul makes this statement. He said, against such there is no law. In any nation, in any culture, in any setting, oh, there are times that, like our sisters talked about in Rondo, it seemed like the whole civilization goes crazy out of their mind. But in any half-sane culture, people admire those things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And say, boy, those are good things. That's why Paul says, against such there is no law, not in the law of God, not in the law of man. So we try to legislate in it, it don't work. What some people don't understand, even from this pulpit, we'll take stands and I'll say things. Paul said it, Jesus said it, and I'll say there's some things that are just absolutely wrong and ungodly. You say, that's hate. No, that's not hate. Truth is not hate. Truth is not hate. And I'll tell you this, the Scripture speaks about speaking the truth in love. That you can speak the truth and yet your heart break for the one that you speak to. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not osmosis. Legislating it never works. Surrendering to Christ always does.